This lesson is entitled Getting Started with Effective Video Editing with Larry Chappell. Larry Chappell is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College, and he currently serves as a member of the pastoral staff at Lancaster Baptist Church, where he oversees the live stream as well as assisting in student ministries. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
The difficult part about this session is you could have weeks training in video stuff. So how do you cover how to get into video editing in one session? It's really impossible to do. So I hope a couple things. I hope that we can share some vision for some of the newer guys, especially of what can be. And then definitely please be thinking of some questions or at the end, you know, maybe a resource or something. We don't want to take too long sharing that, but I'm hoping that the value in today's session will be kind of in the connections formed in here, and this will be kind of a launching board because we can't cover everything in one session. So be thinking of questions, and if there's something I do that you don't understand, go ahead and interrupt me, and that'll be just fine. Just raise your hand. Okay, so let's do this. Here's my plan. In your notebooks, and there's not even blanks. I'm gonna cover these points here, and I'm gonna go through these fairly quickly. Feel free to, like I said, raise your hand along the way, and then I'd like to just have some time at the end for discussion. All right? Can we do that? Ask questions? Because I don't want to end it 20 minutes early and then we don't have any questions, because then it's like we wasted our time, okay? But the first thing you'll see in your notes is to become a student of video production. Become a student of video production. Yes?
There's some empty seats. Can we just make some room for some of these?
Yeah, I didn't really notice that. Maybe you guys want to scoot in? And again, if you're sitting up at the front, if you want to pull a chair back to where you can see the screen, that's fine. Up to you. No, thanks. Which also reminded me, I want to introduce Humberto. He works on our staff. You want to stand up here? This guy is amazing. He did every commercial that you've seen. He did. He shot it, produced it. Our weekly Up Next videos, we started off kind of working together on that, and he's taken that. He runs with that. Every week he produces our Up Next. And if you guys, how many guys have seen our Up Next? Similar to the announcement video we have in our conference, but Humberto produces those. What else do you do? You do a lot of stuff. He keeps all the sermons updated and uploaded, but he's really gifted in filming things. I look at the stuff that he filmed for those promos, and it's like, man, it's beautiful looking. And then he's also gifted in After Effects. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Again, we can't give you a whole course on After Effects in 1 hour, but when it comes to motion graphics, this guy is really good at that. So I invited him to come along because I feel like we've got some strength here. Sometimes I'll see some things, and man, I'm amazed by what he does, and then he'll see some things, and he'll like what I do, and we kind of bounce off each other. Sometimes I won't like something he did, and he won't like something I did, and there's iron sharpening iron in that. So I invited him along in case I thought of anything, or he thought of anything. I told him, feel free at any time to butt in and give us your 2 cents. But become a student of video production. Now, and I think, are we connected here? Yes. Okay. And I thought real quick I'd just show some resources that I've come across. One thing, if you're just getting started, I want to recommend to you, there's Vimeo Video School. Vimeo is the website that we upload all of our sermons to, our video sermons. We pay like a pretty cheap membership, and it's a lot cheaper than hosting the videos on our own websites. And it's a great tool for uploading videos, or if you've got a presentation that you want to embed on your site, Vimeo is a great thing. So, but they have if you just Google the Vimeo School, there's a lot of things on here, and just one by one, you know, here's a lesson, and they really explain things very well. They're very interesting, and you can kind of work your way through that. Another resource, Video Copilot, when it comes to After Effects. How many of you guys are familiar with After Effects? Okay. If you're not familiar with After Effects, anytime there's a video that requires any sort of graphic, okay, for instance, our Up Next video, if we've got a graphic coming in, or we've got something in the background. Basically, that whole presentation is done in After Effects because there's a lot of motion graphics. You can't do that in your standard editing program. You have to do that outside of a standard editing program and then bring it in. This is a great tool. A lot of people, once they get into video and they've figured out the basics of here's how you cut and edit video, a lot of people are like, what can I do to give my video that extra flair? One of the things you can do is motion graphics. And the best way to learn is to come over to his site. And he has a basic training. You see it right there in the middle of the site, a basic training. There's 10 lessons, and you can kind of cut your teeth on After Effects there. So that's another resource that I thought. Another resource that that I've come across recently, and I think you've used RevoStock before. Jeremy did. Yeah. Jeremy has. And there's some template After Effects templates on here. One thing I want to say right up front is that we've got to be good stewards of our time in ministry. And I learned this in high school when I'd spend like 3 weeks on a 3-second animation. And it probably wasn't the best use of my time, you know, because you could probably make something pretty cool in a few hours. So you've got to know we're not creating Hollywood production houses here. You've got to know how to steward your time. And one thing I learned very early on is no pastor is impressed, however amazing the animation or video might be, with something that takes, you know, an exorbitant amount of time to produce. So you got to be wise about that. One of the things is, and this is, these sites here are representative of other sites, okay? There's Lydia.com if you want to learn video editing. That's a good one. So there's a lot of different sites, and there's a lot of different template sites like this. But you can download an After Effects template and then plug it right into your project.
What's this website?
This one is RevoStock, R-E-V-O Stock. And this is to download, if you know how to use After Effects, that template. Okay. If you have no idea what we're talking about yet, I'm sorry. We'll get into something a little more basic in just a sec. The last resource that I wanted to tell you guys about was one that we've come across recently. This one's called Voices. There's another one called Voice of 1-2-3. And these sites are really cool. You can take your script, upload a portion of your script to this site or Voices 1-2-3, and you get different voiceovers to audition for your script. And some of them will read the whole script. Some of them will read a partial script. Some of them won't read your script. They'll send you just another demo they did. But this is, so I put our script. The one project I'm going to be showing you guys today is the video we saw last night, the Dreaming Together video, because that was pretty much my project from start to finish. We all kind of worked together on the 25th video along with Andrew Garcia, who I'll mention in a little bit. But this was my project. So I got the script, did a lot of tweaking on that, and then sent it out. And I mean, within a day, I had like 65 responses of voiceover who read my, and a lot of them were really bad, you know. Not that their voice, this just didn't fit the project. Here's one.
We all have dreams. What are your dreams?
It's like a weird voice, you know.
For whom do you dream?
You know, and some guys just didn't get it. But, you know, somewhere in there, we found the one guy that we did like, and we used him, and we also used him for our 25th anniversary video. And one thing about Voices, it's a little bit more expensive. VoiceOver 1-2-3, you can set your price, okay? So a lot of times I'll go in there, I'm like, I have a $50 budget. You know, give me a $50 voiceover. And I might get one or two responses. You higher your price, you get more responses, you get better talent. But that was one other resource that I wanted to tell you about. But become a student of video production.
The voice that you've been using for a lot of your commercials, mm-hmm.
There's one guy, he is on here. His name is Dan Pope, and we've had a relationship with him for a long time. Yeah. And we're at the point with him, we just send him a script, and he'll bill us, and we've had a 10-year relationship with him. Another guy who we just started using, we used him for 3 projects. His name was Brian Haymond, and I really like his voice. He's I'll switch over here, and he's this guy.
What are your dreams? More importantly, for whom?
He's got a good voice, but he caught on to the fact that we liked it. And every time we bid on a project, he raises his price because he knows we like him. So it's kind of a bummer. But you can see here the quote. Some people, it ranges from 100 to 200 bucks, you know. So it can get expensive. But that was just another. I don't want to get stuck on one thing because we got a lot to cover. But become a student of it. Go to these sites, make friendships, maybe even here, if you just exchange information with Humberto or myself or someone in your row, partner with somebody. Get to know someone that maybe is a little bit better than you, and just become a student of it. Watch things that you like and say, what is it about this that I like? Humberto, any good resources that you can think of?
Well, prayer.
Prayer, yeah.
Before coming here, I prayed that the Lord would make me an apprentice to someone, because everywhere I went, people looked to me. And so I started praying, Lord, take me somewhere where I can grow, actually, learn from people. And he answered my prayer.
Amen.
He brought me to this place, and I feel like I'm an apprentice here.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's cool about Humberto is that he's a strong Christian, and that flows out of his videos, and I don't know how to quite explain that, except for his video matches his theology, and that might not make any sense, but it's good. Anyway, so become a student of video production, then define the message and purpose of your project. This is where the script will flow from, okay? So this is a starting point. If you're brand new, you've never done a video, how do you do it? Start with a script. I'm not a very good writer, but I've surrounded myself with people who are, and I know people who are good writers. So, but start with, why do we want this video? It's a very bad idea to have a video for the sake of having a video, because you're creating a lot of work for yourself. Know why you want to have the video. And video is very powerful. Lamentations 5:51, the verse there at the top, mine eye have affected my heart. I think we all understand the power of video, and I think that's why we're here. So we're not going to belabor that. But define why you're having your video. If it's a missions presentation, if it's a special day, I think a lot of people have videos for the sake of having a video. And I don't think that's always the best thing, because you're going to watch a video. These days in our society, video is so prevalent that where it used to be, you could have any video and it was new. And just because you had a video, that was great. But honestly, you can bore people. You can hurt yourself with a boring, long video. Our targets on video used to be, let's try to have a 15-minute video. Let's have a 10-minute. And now it's like, man, if we can do a 3-minute video, that'd be great, or 2-minute video, because it needs to be concise. But define what the message and the person and the purpose of your project, your script will flow from that. Then, thirdly, know the capabilities of your camera. Know the capabilities of your camera. Now, I brought in my camera that we just recently started using. This is a GH2, and some of you guys might have heard of the GH2, GH1. Recently, when I first did this session a few years back, this was not even heard of, to shoot video on a point-and-shoot SLR camera. But it's become kind of not only the norm, it's actually you produce better video this way, okay? So I'll let you do the research. We did a lot of research, and I like the GH2. I know there's the Canon 5D is another camera. A lot more expensive than this, but great quality video. You're limited on your time. You can only shoot, 12-minute clips, I think is what it is. This one you can shoot. You just keep on shooting forever. So this is the camera that we use, the GH2. And no matter if you've got this camera or, another camera that your church has had for a few years, know how to work your camera. Know what the settings of your camera are. You say, I don't have the greatest camera. Okay, well, I've seen a lot of people with nice cameras shoot some really bad video because they didn't know how to work it. Okay, so get the manual out. These days with YouTube and Vimeo and all these different options, you can go and you can research what everything on the camera means and how to use it. So know the capability of your camera. We'll get back to talking about shooting with DSLRs in a little bit. Actually, let's talk about it now. One of the cool things with these cameras is that this is the kit lens that comes with it, so it's great for taking like photos at home and stuff like that. But you can put onto the front of it a prime lens like this lens right here. It'll zoom in and out. So this is a 14-140, so it'll go all the way back to 14mm and go all the way out to 140. I like this lens. It's a handy lens. But the video that we've been shooting recently, we shoot on these prime lens, and I don't know if I have an adapter or not. Here we go, right here. And these lenses right here, actually, these were given to me. They're fairly cheap lenses. These are old lenses. This lens is probably 20 years old. And I had a friend give this to me, but I think he said he got it like off of eBay for $50. And the glass is in good shape. You can see that's what, when people talk about lenses, they want to know what aperture is it. Is it 1.4? The lower the aperture, the better. Here's the deal. and if you know photography, this helps. The wider your aperture, the more depth of field you get, the more light you get into your camera. The more natural light, the better, okay? So there's a lens, and this lens right here has got scratches. It's not even a very good lens, but we have one good lens, and Humberto was hogging it, so I had to go to this one, and it works. So, most of the shot, a lot of the shots I'll show you in the video that I was working on, I got with these lenses that were just given to me, and they did a pretty good job. But so you can put these old lenses on a newer camera, and you can do 1080p, 720p, and different frame rates, 60 frames per second, like if you're doing something and you want to slow it down later, or 24 frames and give it a little more cinematic look, okay? So if we got questions about this, we'll take that in just a second. But this is what we've been shooting with. We prefer this 9 times out of 10 to our cameras that cost 3 times as much. Yeah. Just because it's portable, it's easy to get in, and you can't. The one lens that we do have, it's out shooting right now. It's a Zeiss lens, and it's a beautiful lens. And we fight over it all the time because it's such a nice lens. But it gives a real nice look. So that's what we use to shoot with. So know the capabilities of your camera. Properly light your interview. This is why, okay, you've got a script. Now you're like, okay, here's what we want to do. You have to start by getting footage. Start by, if you've never done this before, make a shot list. I look at the script, and I look at every line. I think, what shot goes with this? In the video that you saw last night, I got the script. And I'm like, okay, what goes with dreaming, Because it's more of a concept, You can't show a picture of someone's dream. So I kind of came up in my mind with this shot. Then I went out and tested it a couple times. It's my brother-in-law and my nephew right there. But I looked at every line on the script, and I just associated a shot in my mind. And some of them didn't work. Some of them I did twice. But your shooting will flow from your script. When you shoot, make sure your camera capabilities, you know how to use your camera, make sure your interviews are lit properly. I got a lighting kit off of Craigslist that works really well. We have a Lowell Pro lighting kit. You can look those up online, and they range from, depending on what kind of kit you get. One of the nicer things with this camera, it lets in more light, and you need less artificial light. So it's easier. You can get away with a softbox, one light on a subject. And it looks great. But know how to light interview, and this would be something that you can learn on the Vimeo Video School. Humberto is the lighting expert. You got any tips on lighting? We do one thing that I would say when you light, the first time I ever lit an interview, Jeremy Lofgren teased me and said, this is like Larry's shadow factory. I put spotlights right on it. In my opinion, if they were bright, it was good, okay? That's not exactly what you're looking for. You usually have your key light, which is your number one light. And if I'm doing this wrong, tell me. And that's your light that's going to be right there on the interview at about a 45-degree angle, right? And then you have a backlight. This is, to me, really important because it's going to separate whoever you're interviewing from the background. And so it's a light just literally in the background. Okay, let's draw this. Here you got your subject. And so here's the key light right here. And then we'll put a backlight, somewhere in here. And actually, when we do Up Next, we'll have a couple backlights. So that way there's a nice, if you watch announcement videos or anything, there's a nice rim around the subject. And then we'll usually, what do we put, another fill light? I know we do ours differently, kind of crazy. You learn some crazy lighting way. Yeah. But usually there's another fill light, or even you can put cardboard here to bounce light off of, because what you don't want is you're going to get a nice shadow right here on the nose, but you don't want that shadow to be too dark. You don't want that other side of the face to be in total darkness, so you've got to fill it with something. And actually, you can get away sometimes with even a whiteboard. Okay, so there's lots of information online about lighting. Anything else you'd say?
For green screening, if you're going to be doing any kind of green screening, you want to put as much light on the green as you can. Mm-hmm. Try to light the green screen separate from the green screen.
Yeah.
It'll make it a really crisp line when you actually cut the subject out.
Yeah.
The shadow behind the interview, how do you do that? Is that something they naturally cast on the green screen, or do you edit that separately?
They've got to be far enough.
Add that.
Oh, that. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Announcements?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We take, after the subject has been keyed out and you have just the subject, then like sometimes we flip it and we create a shadow, we can create a reflection and After Effects. But yeah, that's huge. If you've ever tried to do a green screen, it's really frustrating if you have your subject too close to the green screen. So move them far out. So properly light your interviews. Then don't overlook the importance of quality audio, okay? You can have awesome looking footage, and if your audio is poor, you've shot yourself in the foot, okay? YouTube, back when they were first developing their technology and bandwidth was not as good as it was now, not everyone had fast connections, they had an option to put more research and more of their resources into developing ways for better audio or better video. And they did research on it, and they found that the human mind is more tolerant of poor visual quality if the audio's there, but not tolerant with bad audio. So you can have great looking video, and I've been here so many times where I've had good looking video and my audio wasn't what it should be. So know how to use your audio. We have these, and I wanted to bring one, but we're using them all to record our sessions in some of the surrounding places. We have these little, they're the H2, Zoom H2 recorders. And a lot of times we'll record our audio separate, and then we sync it up later. Just recently, I got this little cable, and I can go out of our Zoom recorder into my camera, which is really nice. But the one thing I do, and I don't think I have it here, yes, I do. I always split. I always want to monitor my sound. They've made some nice microphones for the GH2 DSLR cameras. Rode microphones look really good, but or sound good. But I like to monitor my sound, so I split the sound first, go to my headphones, and then go back into the camera. But and there's tons of ways to do it. The bottom line is make sure you have good levels. And really, for me, with my camera, and the way I did it, it just came down to just testing in my house. And I test it, and I remember where the levels were, pulling the footage, listen to it, and you get to know it, okay? So, but make sure you have good audio. Humberto, anything on audio you'd say?
Quiet sound.
Yeah. One of our biggest frustrations is that we record up in the bridal room, up in the worship center, and there's always practices going on. We always have to come out and say, please, can you quiet down? We're looking into actually getting in the studio eventually.
Well, a good way to say is, can you pause?
Can you pause? Yeah.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then it's always 30.
And then, yeah. Do you have an interview area set up right now to where we can go and see if, like, see how the lighting's arranged?
Yeah.
Is that set up now?
It's, we can go over there. It's a mess. It's a small room. We can hardly fit everyone in there. We've got a wider lens that we can pull back on, but the size of the room, would probably, if I'm standing here, lengthwise is probably that wall, and widthwise is probably to this first chair, so it's really small. We've got our lighting set up. It is really nice to have a dedicated place to set it up, you know, because that's one thing when we started doing these Up Next commercials, we said we have to have a place because we can't have an hour set up and tear down every week, and so we were able to get the smallest room on our entire campus, you know. So, a little bit on lighting. Then we talked about audio.
Larry, I'm sorry, but on that point, basically, if you're going to do it every week, it would be important to have a place. But if you're just going to do it once in a while,
yes,
you'd probably be fine carrying on.
Absolutely, yes. Next, edit creatively. Edit creatively. Now, for those of you who are just getting into it, let me give you a quick little preview on how the editing process works. Okay, so I've got my camera here, and let's see. I'm just going to take like a really quick video of this guy's camera right here. Okay, so and here you can see the depth of field, where I've got this in focus right here. And then you guys are in focus over here. Actually, you can't see anything, but I'm about to show you. So there's a quick clip. One of the things I love about shooting with this rather than tape is just how quickly it works, because now I can pull this card out, put this card right into my computer. This works just about the same way on whatever video editing program. We use Final Cut. I have friends, Andrew Garcia, who helped with our 25th video. He uses Vegas. I talked to another guy this week who uses Premiere. Okay, so these all pretty much work the same way. Honestly, you can create some amazing stuff with iMovie these days. You can buy a computer and straight out of the box begin editing. Okay, so here's my card. And this is, I don't know if you can see here. These are some of the, I was shooting that little drug scene for the We Dream for Those in Bondage. So that's all on this card. Okay, this is not the best quality because I didn't take the time to set it up, but it's just awesome that quickly, there you go, there's the footage we just took, and we can set our endpoints and our outpoints and have it in your computer. So that's once you've filmed, whether your interview and you've got good video, you've got good audio, now it's time to bring the footage into an editing program. And all are pretty much similar to this. We used to have to like capture it through tape, and we still do that sometimes. We still have our tape cameras, but it's getting fewer and fewer between. But you can go and you can preview your clips and say, oh yeah, I like this one. You know, you can set an endpoint right here and then outpoint here, and then now I'm bringing this clip in, and it's just that quick, it's there. So the workflow with these cameras is really good. So
is that Final Cut you're using right there?
This is Final Cut, yes. So then we got our clips here. I should do a better job. I always run out of time. I was like, I'm going to go into this session with like all these little pre-done little illustrations, and then I get so busy, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take the last video project I worked on. Where the video goes is right here. If your video goes into your bin, and I don't do a good job of naming my video, but this is video clip number 14, and the really cool thing is I've got 14 number 14s. Because I did that well of a job organizing things. But anyway, so the clip goes in here. This was on July 4th. I needed a shot with a couple hands. So, again, my brother-in-law pulled. I know this is small. But so your video will go here into your bin. Okay, so this is the first window up here on the top left. This is your bin. Then you've got a preview. This is where you can look at a clip and preview it and see if you like it. And then right here, this is your final output. Down here on the bottom, this is the timeline. This little line is the playhead. As this line moves across the clips, it'll play them, okay?
We all have dreams. What are your dreams?
So we got a few things just right off the bat. We've got right here, these are all your tracks. Above this line, these are video tracks, okay? And again, if you've never edited before, you're not going to remember, but this is just basically how it works. You got your video tracks, and then below this line right here, you've got your audio tracks. Right here, this is my voiceover.
More importantly, for whom do you dream?
And then I've got a couple different types of audio that I've been trying out, but here's the one I liked and I went with. On this audio here, I've got these little lines, you can see them. I pulled the audio down, so that way when the voice comes in, the music's not competing.
We all have dreams. What are your dreams?
And then right here, I've got this little color burn. And that it's just kind of a neat little effect to use because it's easy. And it's free. If you go Google... Film Burn, you can get this. There's one guy on Vimeo has it, and you can just download them. There's just a few of them. They're just these little clips. It's what it is. It's the camera with a really high ISO, and no lens is what creates this effect. And then you can overlay that onto your project. But I did that at every transition. I have that little film burn. Okay. And it works for this video. It wouldn't work for other videos, and that's what I mean when you say edit creatively. Think what works for that video. A lot of videos, it's just slow fades. Yeah, it makes it dreamy. The others are just hard cuts. And both are fun to do, but you got to know which one you're doing. The music dictates a lot of the feel of the video. Actually, that's the first thing I do is I start looking for music. There's a couple ways I do that. Humberto and I have this discussion. I want to get away from using music that we haven't licensed, okay? AKA, we stole, okay? I like to get to the point where we can use stock royalty-free music, okay? The hard thing for us as independent Baptists is the fact that there's a lot of music we can't use, you know? So you go onto a royalty-free website and just can't use it, you know? So that's a tough thing. But one of the ways we find music is you can search in the iTunes stores, and some of those songs by some of the lesser-known people, you actually can go through the hassle of licensing them. But that's the first thing I do is I look for music. And that kind of gives me an idea of how the feel is. The guy, when he recorded the voiceover the first time, it was kind of a rush job, and I got it to him, and he read it back, and he's really good. He was the number one rated voice for NRB, the religious broadcasting. And he just read the thing totally wrong. And I knew it was important. You know, it was our leadership conference, so I emailed him back, and I gave him the music. And he's like, this totally helps, because it helped him understand the feel of the video, too. So I start with the music. Not everyone does, but start with the script and the music. The next thing you'll see is choose music that supports the message. This is like a no-brainer, but it's always fun to look at. So I found music that I liked.
We all have dreamed and become committed followers of him.
I had two different options. I showed Brother Schmidt and Jeremy Lofgren, because I have this one, which is a little bit more reflective. And I said, but if you want more energy, I picked out another one. We've used it before, but
we dream for the lost, that they will one day come to Christ.
It gets a little more energy.
Christ-centered homes.
In here. But we decided to go with the more reflective. Music tells you how to feel about what you're watching. And here's an example. I pulled one. I think this is from the Terminator soundtrack, okay? So when you put the wrong music with whatever you're editing, it can give it an eerie feel. And you might have seen this before, but I love doing this, putting the wrong music with something.
What are your dreams? More importantly, for whom do you dream? As ministers of Christ, we dream for others.
It's like people are getting ready to die, you know?
For God's best.
She's drowning.
We dream for the lost, that they will one day come to Christ and become committed followers of him.
Anyway, so just another little side note. Music tells you how to feel about what you're watching. This clip right here, I took this when I was on vacation a year ago, and I've tried to make it a habit of not throw away clips. I got that when I was on vacation. I just thought it was cool, and then I never used it for anything, and then I was able to use it in this project. So I try to save my clips. But choose music that supports the message. Then use motion graphics that create interest. Humberto is the man when it comes to motion graphics. If you don't know what I'm talking about when we say motion graphics, let me see if I can figure it out. Okay, here's an example of it. This video is no footage. This is all After Effects. This was a sermon series intro. So we didn't go shoot anything, just all within After Effects. Again, you found music. It's kind of got the wind chimes in it. Kind of going with the windmills. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of something that's all motion graphics. But what you can do is you can combine it. Usually we'll have, here's a graphic at the front of the video, a graphic at the end of the video. Sometimes there's a lower third. If it's our up next video, we've got technically motion going on in the background. We've got stuff coming on in the foreground. It just keeps interest. I liked motion graphics, but I couldn't make a case for doing them. And then I started to study them. When they first did commercials on television, they designed commercials like they would a newspaper. And it would just be a static image. Here's the commercial. It would be a 30-second commercial of just a static image. But then people stopped watching. People would go, well, we don't watch commercials today. We go, to the kitchen or whatever and then come back. So what they would do is they would cut out little parts of that, and they would just move it around. Because what it would do is you'd catch people's attention again. And so that's kind of where motion graphics began. But it keeps attention. So that's why I think it's really important. If you can, this is one of those things in video that will set your videos apart. The ability to do motion graphics. Anything on that, Humberto?
If you know Photoshop, then you can learn After Effects pretty easily. All of the tools in Photoshop are basically the same tools in After Effects, just with an added video timeline.
Yeah. You have to learn the concept of how time works within After Effects if you've never used it. And it works by keyframes. And it's pretty easy, simple. Is at this point in our timeline right here, we want this picture to be this size. We want this picture to be 50% size and, 0% opacity. And then over here, we want this picture to be 100% size, 100% in opacity. And this distance is 3 seconds. So you set a keyframe here and a keyframe here. And then what the picture does, it goes from 50 to 100 and from 0 to 100 on the opacity. And that's the basic concept of a keyframe. And then the cool thing is you can set keyframes to anything, okay? You can have a blur, and you can have your blur be at, 5%, go to 0%. And now you got that blur, and you're taking that blur off. And if you don't like, oh, that was too fast, then you just move the keyframes down. So it's pretty cool concept. And if you know Photoshop and you understand keyframes, you've got it, basically. So use motion graphics to create interest. Then distribute video appropriately. We did a video, it's burn it to DVD. Now we hardly ever burn it to DVD. Now it's usually going to the web. It's just going straight on a hard drive. We're going to play it in our services. Never touches a DVD. It's nice as far as your timing of things. It gives you a couple extra hours. It used to be we had to finish our videos by, a few hours before the service. We had time to burn it. But I had a couple changes on our dreaming video. And so I was doing them at like 5:30 yesterday. And I exported the video about 6:45. I had a backup one that was already approved. But there's a couple little changes I want to make. And so I got it about 10 minutes before the service. If I had to burn it, I would have had no time. But distribute the video appropriately. And what I mean by this is, where is your video going? Is it going to the web? Is it going to a DVD? Know your aspect ratios. There's so many things that we can't even talk about. But make sure that your video matches up front where it's going. Okay, like when we used to have screens that were 4:3, and you do the upcoming events or our 72nd, you do that video in 4:3 because you knew it was going to be played in 4:3, and that was the only place it was going to be played. So it affected how upfront you edit the video. Okay, it used to be on lower bandwidth and stuff. When you watch a video online, it'd be a little choppy and pixelated, so they'd say only use shots that are really clear. But now the clarity's fine. You're not really limited by what you put on video. But we put, like I said, we put all of our stuff up on Vimeo, and that's where all of our sermons go. And we upload those all the time, always uploading. You got your video tracks, and then below this line right here, you've got your audio tracks. Right here, this is my voiceover.
More importantly, for whom do you dream?
And then I've got a couple different types of audio that I've been trying out, but here's the one I liked and I went with. On this audio here, I've got these little lines. You can see them. I pulled the audio down so that way when the voice comes in, the music's not competing.
We all have dreams. What are your dreams?
And then right here, I've got this little color burn. And that's just kind of a neat little effect to use because it's easy. And it's free. If you go Google film burn, you can get this. There's one guy on Vimeo has it, and you can just download them. There's just a few of them. They're just these little clips. It's what it is. It's the camera with a really high ISO and no lens is what creates this effect. And then you can overlay that onto your project. But I did that at every transition. I have that little film burn. Okay. And it works for this video. It wouldn't work for other videos, and that's what I mean when you say edit creatively. Think what works for that video. A lot of videos, it's just slow fades. Yeah, it makes it dreamy. The others are just hard cuts, and both are fun to do, but you got to know which one you're doing. The music dictates a lot of the feel of the video. Actually, that's the first thing I do is I start looking for music. There's a couple ways I do that. Humberto and I have this discussion. I want to get away from using music that we haven't licensed, okay? AKA, we stole, okay? I like to get to the point where we can use stock, royalty-free music, okay? The hard thing for us as independent Baptists is the fact that there's a lot of music we can't use, you know? So you go onto a royalty-free website and you just can't use it, you know? So that's a tough thing. But one of the ways we find music is we'll you can search in the iTunes stores, and some of those songs by some of the lesser-known people, you actually can go through the hassle of licensing them. But that's the first thing I do is I look for music. And that kind of gives me an idea of how the feel is. The guy, when he recorded the voiceover, the first time, it was kind of a rush job, and I got it to him, and he read it back, and he's really good. He was the number one rated voice for NRB, the religious broadcasting. And he just read the thing totally wrong. And I knew it was important. You know, it was our leadership conference, so I emailed him back, and I gave him the music. And he's like, this totally helps, because it helped him understand the feel of the video, too. So I start with the music. Not everyone does. But start with the script and the music. The next thing you'll see is choose music that supports the message. This is like a no-brainer, but it's always fun to look at. So I found music that I liked.
We all have dreamed and become committed followers of him.
I had two different options. I showed Brother Schmidt and Jeremy Lofgren, because I had this one, which is a little bit more reflective. And I said, but if you want more energy, I picked out another one. We've used it before, but...
We dream for the lost, that they will one day come to Christ.
It gets a little more energy
Christ-centered homes.
In here, but we decided to go with the more reflective. Music tells you how to feel about what you're watching. And here's an example. I pulled one. I think this is from the Terminator soundtrack, okay? So when you put the wrong music with whatever you're editing, it can give it an eerie feel. And you might have seen this before, but I love doing this, putting the wrong music with something.
What are your dreams? More importantly, for whom do you dream? As ministers of Christ, we dream for others.
It's like people are getting ready to die, you know?
For God's best.
She's drowning.
We dream for the lost, that they will one day come to Christ and become committed followers of him.
Anyway, so just another little side note. Music tells you how to feel about what you're watching. This clip right here, I took this when I was on vacation a year ago, and I've tried to make it a habit of not throw away clips. I got that when I was on vacation. I just thought it was cool, and then I never used it for anything, and then I was able to use it in this project. So I try to save my clips. But choose music that supports the message. Then use motion graphics that create interest. Humberto is the man when it comes to motion graphics. If you don't know what I'm talking about when we say motion graphics, let me see if I can figure it out. Okay, here's an example of it. This video is no footage. This is all After Effects. This was a sermon series intro. So we didn't go shoot anything, just all within After Effects. Again, you found music. It's kind of got the wind chimes in it. Kind of going with the windmills. So that's an example of something that's all motion graphics. But what you can do is you can combine it. Usually we'll have, here's a graphic at the front of the video, a graphic at the end of the video. Sometimes there's a lower third. If it's our up next video, we've got technically motion going on in the background. We've got stuff coming on in the foreground. It just keeps interest. I liked motion graphics, but I couldn't make a case for doing them. And then I started to study them. When they first did commercials on television, they designed commercials like they would a newspaper. And it would just be a static image. Here's the commercial. It would be a 30-second commercial of just a static image. But then people stopped watching. People would go, well, we don't watch commercials today. We go, you know, to the kitchen or whatever and then come back. So what they would do is they would cut out little parts of that, and they would just move it around. Because what it would do is you'd catch people's attention again. And so that's kind of where motion graphics began. But it keeps attention. So that's why I think it's really important. If you can, this is one of those things in video that will set your videos apart. You know, the ability to do motion graphics. Anything on that, Humberto?
If you know Photoshop, then you can learn After Effects pretty easily. All of the tools in Photoshop are basically the same tools in After Effects, just with an added video timeline.
Yeah. You have to learn the concept of how time works within After Effects if you've never used it. And it works by keyframes. And it's pretty easy, simple. Is at this point in our timeline right here, we want this picture to be this size. You know, we want this picture to be 50% size and, you know, 0% opacity. And then over here, we want this picture to be 100% size, 100% and opacity. And this distance is 3 seconds. So you set a keyframe here and a keyframe here. And then what the picture does, and it goes from 50 to 100 and from 0 to 100 on the opacity. And that's the basic concept of a keyframe. And then the cool thing is you can set keyframes to anything, okay? You can have a blur, and you can have your blur be at, you know, 5%, go to 0%, and now you got that blur, and you're taking that blur off. And if you don't like, oh, that was too fast, then you just move the keyframes down. So it's a pretty cool concept. And if you know Photoshop and you understand keyframes, you've got it, basically. So use motion graphics to create interest. Then distribute video appropriately. We did a video, it's burn it to DVD. Now we hardly ever burn it to DVD. Now it's usually going to the web. It's just going straight on a hard drive. We're going to play it in our services. Never touches a DVD. It's nice as far as your timing of things. It gives you a couple extra hours. It used to be we had to finish our videos by, a few hours before the service. We had time to burn it. But I had a couple changes on our Dreaming video. And so I was doing them at like 5:30 yesterday. And I exported the video about 6:45. I had a backup one that was already approved. But there's a couple little changes I want to make. And so I got it about 10 minutes before the service. If I had to burn it, I would have had no time. But distribute the video appropriately. And what I mean by this is, where is your video going? Is it going to the web? Is it going to a DVD? Know your aspect ratios. There's so many things that we can't even talk about. But make sure that your video matches up front where it's going. Okay, like when we used to have screens that were 4:3, and you do the upcoming events or our 72nd, you do that video in 4:3 because you knew it was going to be played in 4:3, and that was the only place it was going to be played. So it affected how upfront you edit the video. Okay, it used to be on lower bandwidth and stuff. When you watch a video online, it'd be a little choppy and pixelated, so they'd say only use shots that are really clear. But now the clarity's fine. You're not really limited by what you put on video. But we put, like I said, we put all of our stuff up on Vimeo, and that's where all of our sermons go. We upload those all the time, always uploading.